We are thankful to the Almighty God that He has seen fit to allow us to worship God today in spirit and in truth, and we're thankful for those that are visiting with us as well. We want to jump right in. Our lesson text comes to us from Acts chapter 17, as was read in your hearing by Brandon Barry White Nelson. That young man is growing up, voice getting deeper every week. Amen. So come back to me now. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse number 6, the Bible records, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come here also, or come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one, Jesus." From these verses and perhaps a few others, we want to speak this morning on the topic, the gospel of Christ turning the world upside down. The gospel of Christ turning the world upside down. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something this morning. As we think about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got a lot of foolishness taking place in the world today. The gospel of health and wealth. So you just go ahead and send me some money and I will, quote unquote, send you a blessing. Foolishness. You got this social gospel. There's a lot of great social causes. I'm involved in a lot of it. Education, mentoring, and things like that. But that won't save your soul. There's a lot of good things you can do that can be a part of the sequencing and getting somebody's attention. Nothing wrong with feeding people. Nothing wrong with helping folks who are downtrodden and giving them some counseling and encouragement. But I want to make it very clear to everybody that's listening, both here and abroad, there's only one power God uses to save mankind. And God doesn't use it, because we got some even members of the Lord's church involved in everything else but the church. That ain't going to save your soul. As you can see, I'm coming in hot this morning. We're going to go ahead and just keep it right here. Amen. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel." Saints, a couple quick notes for you. Stay ready, and you don't have to get ready. You don't sit there and someone says, "Can you give me a Bible study?" "Well, let me get ready for that." No. Stay ready, and you don't have to get ready. I'm giving you a big three virtually, not on the screen today. I'm going to give them to you just straight up. One, stay ready, and you don't have to get ready. How often do they say, "Preach the gospel, Brother Dowdell"? In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to remain distinctive as the Lord's church. But now here's the second thing, second bullet for you today. Be ready to offend some folks. Have mercy. There are folks that have sat in these seats, maybe there's some sitting in these seats right now, who have the mentality. And sadly, Brother Lindsay, there's even some gospel preachers I'm seeing that want to back away from preaching the simplicity of the gospel. Want to back away and understand, I don't care if it's a funeral, I don't care if it's a wedding, you can weave it in and let somebody know what's going on about their soul. You can talk about everything under the sun, philosophy and science and all this other stuff. There's a time and place for all of that. But we don't want to run anybody away. We don't want to offend anybody. So the first one is stay ready. Then you have to get ready. Second point, be ready to offend. Because see, our text, Acts chapter 17, see, we started in verse 6, but Lenny, let's take it back. Acts 17, Acts the 17th chapter. We need to get some context, because here there's an accusation being made. People are upset. Why were they upset? Acts the 17th chapter, Brother Lenny. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, wait a minute now. So, what did Paul do? What was his pattern, his lifestyle of behavior? Lenny, Acts 17, verse 2. Go and read.
"And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them." And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures.
So Paul was not afraid to preach the gospel. Now the gospel, for the record, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's God's power to save. The gospel has to be preached to all the world. Mark 16, 15 and 16. The gospel has to be heard and believed. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 7. And so Paul, the Bible says, as his manner was. I like that. Because see, we've gotten into the habit. That's the word that's been on my heart all week long. Because see, COVID created some new habits for folks. Now, we want to get in that. Hopefully, you're already in the habit of washing your hands. Amen. One section. I'm a little concerned. I ain't shaking anybody's hand today. You think I'm joking? You get a fist bump, head nod. That's all you're getting today. As a result of an infectious disease, people singing happy birthday and all that, they've never done that before. Hopefully you have. But that was a cut. You were in the habit. You should be in the habit of washing your hands and not coughing all on you, covering your cough. Amen. That's because you don't want to spread that. But now, conversely, Paul's manner was he was ready to spread the gospel. May we get in the habit of just little nuances. Now, you don't go into your office tomorrow, kick in the door and say, boss, you want to sit in the next staff meeting? I'm going to stand up. I'm going to preach the gospel to everybody because you ain't going to fire me. You may get fired right there. You got to use some wisdom. And it starts with our lifestyle. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ and visiting friends, the Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 2, as his manner was, Paul did not hesitate. He went into the synagogue. And the Bible says, He went into the synagogue as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them. He didn't fuss, argue, because even in the Lord's church, we got spiritual police that don't police their own life. But yet we're going to show you what's everything else is wrong with the church and you. Amen. I've been around too long not to state the truth. You're going to police every single thing. How about taking care of your household, your life, and then you can talk to me. Or anybody else, not just to me. I'm using me as an overarching thing. Well, brother, I've been concerned about this, 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 and this. Take care of you. Share the gospel. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about brothers and sisters in Christ, but I tell you what, it all starts because it's something called credibility. You got to qualify to complain. That's your third one. I'll go ahead and put it up there. You got to qualify to complain. See, we got nothing to complain about because we don't qualify. We don't deserve what God has already given to us. So that's why we're in a season of thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, that's all year round. We should be thankful for what God has given us. So I don't have time to fuss about Lenny. I want to encourage my brother. But I got to make sure I'm right first so I can encourage him. But let me stay with the text. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas began teaching the word. And they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible lets us know that in verse number 2, Paul went to the synagogue and he preached, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. What did he teach them? Verse 3, Lenny.
Opening and alleging.
That Christ must needs have suffered.
And risen again from the dead.
So he's preaching that Christ suffered and died. He preached that not only did he die, he was buried and he had to rise from the dead. Paul preached the gospel. That he was in the habit of sharing the gospel. And what happened as a result of that? Read.
And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you.
This Jesus whom I preach unto you.
Is Christ.
See, not only is he the Christ, he is the anointed Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. So Paul was in the habit of preaching the gospel. Now, if you were here early for Bible class, this is I'm doing a part one, part two. Amen, Bible class. All 15 of us. Because see, in Bible class, we broke down what the gospel was. I'm not going to do that to the 15 that were in Bible class and just re-preach that. Because we walked scripture by scripture on exactly what the gospel was. So I'm pivoting from that. And so now this same gospel, when Paul preached it, as his custom was, he was in the habit of doing so. It was part of his lifestyle. We got to get back to making sharing the gospel a part of our lifestyle. And all of us need to do better. We think about everything else, talk about everything else, and Lord, forgive us. May we all do better. Working into a conversation. A he opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered, verse 3. Risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, not just anybody, only one died for our sins. Only one is the head of the church. Why am I a member of the church of Christ? Because it's the only one Christ died for. We got to start, we got to get back to saying that in these pulpits. Brothers talk about love. You don't know what church. You don't know anything. Just love. God is love. Thank you for being with us today. Goodbye. You've learned nothing. You've learned nothing. Now, so when you again, I like spicy food. So when I eat some food and I taste it, I'm like, no, this needs some more. Give me a little cayenne. Give me a little something. And so we got too many watered down lessons. Everything is, we're way up here, but yet you don't know what you must do to be saved. Then I'm not doing my job. And for those that are here with us today that are not members of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, you're going to hear clearly what you need to do to be saved. That is my primary job. Encourage the saints. Keep the saved saved. But if the words of God doesn't convict you to do better, I haven't done my job. So the Bible says he not only opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. But the Bible says in verse 4, now let me just prepare you all for this, because this is where some saints of God are discouraged. Well, if I teach them that, somebody going to get mad. If I teach them that, then they may not like me anymore. Well, here's your decision. Here's your choice. Is it God or man? Nobody. We're all social creatures. Nobody likes to be hated. Nobody wants to be isolated, because we're social beings. Now, we got some folks that are like, I don't want anybody ever around me. So that's a different issue. That's a different talk and conversation. Because you got to be around people, folks. Jesus, how can you teach somebody to God? You got to be around people. You got to communicate with people. And if people don't want to be around you, you can be a stumbling block. Amen, walls and lights. So tell me what the result of him preaching Jesus. He reasoned out of the scriptures, Brother Lenny. Acts 17, verse 4, what happened? Watch the results.
And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas.
Hold your point. And some of them believed and said, we want to work with you in this ministry. Some believed. But if we're not sharing the word, we may miss the opportunity for people to obey the gospel. Some believed and consorted. Break that word down. They joined themselves with Paul and Silas. Come on.
And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few.
Look at verse 4. Thank God. As a result of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, some believed and teamed up with Paul and Silas. Out of this group, not only did they have some believing and work with Paul and Silas, a lot of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women. These are women with influence. The Bible says in the King James Version, not a few. But I love how that spells out, it translates in the original language. A great number of influential women obey. Now, if we were in like a class setting or a workshop, I'd have all the brothers go, don't do this, I'd have all the brothers go to one side. We need four pews. Then have all the women be somewhere else. We need almost a whole row. In the Lord's church, women outnumber men. That does not mean God's word changes. Amen, brothers. That don't mean God's word changes in terms of God's responsibility. Do we need to go to 1 Corinthians 11? Do I need to go there? I ain't asking you. I'm asking myself. I'm just thinking about it for now. But I'm going to go there. You stay right there, Lenny. 1 Corinthians 11, because some people are like, yes, right. Go on, brother. We outnumber you, so y'all need to let us do stuff. No, of course. The sisters need to work. Amen. But let me go and just read the Bible. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know, 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Amen. Y'all already know where it's going, so y'all holding amen. Amen. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. Don't get married, you don't believe that. Let me say it again, all this thing. Don't get married, you don't believe that. And now, sisters, the Bible is not saying that a woman is incompetent and unable. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. There's roles and responsibilities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent the Son. He had a role and responsibility. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. He had a role and responsibility. So in the Lord's church, There's no female elders. Because the elder's got to be a husband of one wife. Well, you know, we can work that. No, you can work it out. You can pervert. She the woman and she, no, you are a woman. Amen. I took this pit stop because of y'all. This ain't my lesson. But I have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. There's structure and order in the world in which we live. Everything's been perverted, twisted. And so this is what gets in the way of people obeying the gospel. Because right now, it's just, people are like, it just doesn't matter. It does matter. The word of God matters. Our kids are growing up and they hear things in school. They see things on TV. And brothers and sisters, it does matter. We got kids listening here today. And I want you to understand, God created man and woman. And so when kids turn on TV now, and you ain't even got a quote unquote, because I told you all this before and I'm going to say it again. There was a time with the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, where you had to, you know, you want to see some crazy, crazy thing, you had to pay for it. Some of y'all like, act like you don't know what I'm talking about. And so now, you turn on TV, there's two men kissing on a prescription commercial. Y'all seen it? They're going to show it 20 times a day during football games because men are watching. And so my point is, the world, the messaging, the images in this world are all going away from God. And my kids, your kids, are growing up. We don't have any babies anymore in my household. They're all grown. But one's 15. He's on his way. But my point is this. We need to teach the truth so that our kids will understand and we can have a legacy of leadership, a legacy of service to God. And so what did Paul do? He preached the gospel. Some believe, back to Acts 17. Thank you for that pit stop with me. Some believe they teamed up with Paul and Silas, verse 4, and of the devout Greeks and a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. A great multitude. So when we preach the gospel, when we do what God says to do, how God said do it, the Church of Christ has to remain distinctive. Now, don't you know the devil is not happy with that? We're going to stay in Acts 17 for the most part today. Lenny? Some people didn't like it. Read Acts 17 and 5.
But the Jews which believe not.
So wait a minute. See, not everybody believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everybody believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not everybody believes that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He built and established one church. One church in different locations. This building where the church meets is not. There's nothing holy about this wood. Nothing holy about anything in here. The church meets in this place. We can meet outside under a tent and worship in spirit and in truth. Amen, saints. I've had people tell me, what do you mean? Everybody can't fit in one building. You missed the point. One ekklesia is the Greek word. It means called out. And that word called out, we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only power God uses to save mankind. How much power does God have? He's omnipotent. He has all power, Matthew 28 and verse 18. But he uses only one power to save mankind. I'm ahead of myself, but I will go ahead and say it again. I'll say it later, but I'll say it again. Christ only uses one power. God only uses one power to save mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was preached in Acts 17. In Thessalonica. The Bible says some believed. Some teamed up with Paul and Silas. Many of the devout Greeks, many of the chief influential women, because women always have influence. Thank God for women. May you always use your superpowers for good, sisters. Amen. And so the Bible lets us know that the Jews which did not believe, Acts 17 and 5, read.
Moved with envy.
So not only will there be folks who don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they're going to do some things to hurt you, to hurt me. Did y'all catch that, saints? Because see, this is what unfortunately causes children of God to back away from really preaching the truth. We want to go superficial. Let me tell you something. Anybody you meet, you may agree with them on 19 things, you know, sports, food, business, college, whatever. But I tell you what, the great divider, you start talking about religion. But don't be ashamed of what you believe, saints. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all need this lesson. Because we get out of the habit of being zealous, and we get in the habit of being selfish. I told y'all last week, some folks will never take off a mask, literally and figuratively. Did y'all hear what I just said? Now, as many of you are wearing a mask right now to prevent the infectious spread of a disease or any kind of infection. Somebody sneeze or cough. You know, I was talking to brother this morning. He was coughing. I said, you can stay right out there, brother. Thank you. People are going to cough, brothers and sisters. Somebody sneeze right now. Some of you start tightening up. And he said, don't do that again. There's a frequency of sneezes and coughs now. Everybody's got a tolerance. If we didn't have that before 2020, people sneeze like, bless you. Now you ain't even saying bless you. Sorry, cameraman. That's what we do now. So my point is this. Not only are there those who don't believe one church, that believe in the gospel, they will take it one step further. We must be prepared for this. The Bible says the Jews, Acts 17 and 5, the Jews which believe not, they didn't believe, they were moved with envy. Why? Because they preached the gospel. So what did they do? Read.
Took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort.
Hold your point. They got some, and I don't know if you know some of these words now, they got some hoodlums. They got some rugrats. The Bible says these are Jews who were moved with envy, didn't believe the gospel. They took unto them, they said, come here a second, we're going to give y'all a little money. We need y'all to do something for us. There's always somebody to do something for you. Lewd fellows. People that didn't care. Of the baser sort. Basically, these are people that had just nothing to lose. I mean, just no regard for life. There are people that live this way right now in 2021. So they grab some hoodlums, if you will. And the Bible says, and gathered a company. See, now that's, the King James Version doesn't do really justice. I got to break that down, if you will. They created them. They grabbed some of these hoodlums, and created a mob and stirred up a riot. All because the gospel was being preached. How dare you preach the gospel? So let me tell you something right now, brothers and sisters. How dare us not preach the gospel? People are going to get offended. I've heard that in the Church of Christ. Why are we always preaching about one church? Because that's what we got. We're a member of one church. If there was only one place, the building's on fire, and there's only one place you can save some people, and your family's over here, what are you going to tell them? Get out. Get in here. And we act like, well, everybody, we don't want to just hurt anybody's feelings. Have y'all heard that? We don't want to run anybody off. Brother, calm down a little bit. But yet the building's on fire. You screaming and yelling. The lights go off. And here some of y'all start screaming because you're afraid. We don't want anybody to lose their soul. There's an urgency. God has made it possible. One ark of safety. We sing the song, I was sinking deep in sand, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Years ago, some of you may remember this. I work with a lot of athletes, and I've heard they were telling me about, you know, some of their friends who died out in the water in the ocean outside of Tampa. Remember that, Lenny? These were athletes. They were strong physically, but then they had a boat issue, and they were out there, and some of them died. So your physical strength won't take you to heaven. Then they were finally rescued. So the gospel preaching is we want to rescue folks from their sin. And quit using your physical strength, your intellect, your money. That won't save your soul at all. So they preach the gospel. Some believe, great multitudes believe, but envy will cause people to do things to hurt you and me. Get ready to be envied. Just get used to it. I remember when I first realized, I was like, okay, because it starts early, kids. Kids in school, who do you think you are? There was a 10-year-old girl who committed suicide because she was talked about. Did y'all hear me? 10-year-old girl took her life because the kids were being mean to her at school. So you better talk to your kids. You let them know, don't you be ashamed of who you are, how you look. These girls said I was ugly at school. Baby, you're beautiful. Amen. Saints, don't be afraid of who you are, ashamed of who you are, and stand up for Christ. I can't imagine being 10 years old. 10 years old, I just want to know what's for lunch. Let's go out and throw the football or play basketball. Baby took her own life because people can be mean. So the Bible says the Jews are moved with envy. Verse 5, Acts 17. They didn't believe. Took them a bunch of hoods. Created a mob. And what did they do, Lenny? And set what?
All the city in an uproar.
Set all the city in an uproar. Now everybody's upset. See, look at what you did preaching the gospel. The whole city is in an uproar now. Read.
An assault at the house of Jason.
Now, not only will envy will create something. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe the gospel. You know, and not only that, watch this. Move with envy. You always going to get some people, going to get some other people that's going to team up with them. Because, you know, birds of a feather, y'all know that, right? Want to flock together. There's always somebody like, you know what, I'm so glad you called me because I was feeling the same way. Why don't you encourage somebody? So the envy was the motivation. Didn't believe in the gospel. Grabbed some people that are willing to do whatever they needed. City's in an uproar. Now they assaulted the house of Jason because he took them in. And what did they do? What did they seek to do?
They sought to bring them out to the people.
Get these people preaching the gospel out to the people. Bring them out to the mob. Now the Bible goes on to say, I'll drive for a minute, Lenny. And when they found them, they couldn't find Paul and Silas. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Here's your lesson text on the screen. They couldn't find them. They drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down. There it is, brothers and sisters. We can have some influence, seriously. We could turn this world upside down. Just preach the truth. Don't be ashamed. These, look at them, talking about Jesus. Turn the world upside down. Are come hither also. Now they're in our city. And the Bible says in verse number 7, Jason brought them and he took them in, whom Jason hath received. They couldn't find Paul and Silas, so they brought out Jason, whom Jason, right here, hath received. And these all, the other brethren that are with them, do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Isn't it cute how people that may not be doing what the boss wants them to do, so now all of a sudden they're faithful to Caesar. And so they had to find something to catch them on. Because see, they're now violating King Caesar. They're saying there's another king, one Jesus. And so what happens next, brothers and sisters? Let me just pause for a minute. When you think about the reality of preaching the gospel, it messes with people's tradition. It messes with people's money. Did you hear what I said? So you start preaching the truth down there, and it's like, wait, hold on a second. So we got leave us alone over here. It messes with people's money. Let me give you a quick sneak peek. We may hit this on Wednesday. Go to Acts 19 very quickly. Acts chapter 19. Acts the 19th chapter. Acts chapter 19. Acts the 19th chapter. We're gonna close in 17. But I want to just really show you this very quickly. When you think about what people are doing and how they respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 19, beginning at verse number 24. Because see, people are bowing down to all kind of things today. Acts 19, verse 24. Read the Bible, brother.
For a certain man named Demetrius.
Demetrius. What was he? What was his work, his occupation?
A silversmith.
He made things with silver. Read.
Which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen.
This man made good money. He was a silversmith. He made shrines to the Greek goddess Diana. Now you heard in Acts 17, many of the devout Greeks obeyed the gospel. But now this man's over here making money, making silver shrines to Diana. Let's bow down to Diana. And sadly in 2021, people are still bowing down and giving in to idolatry. Acts 19, verse 25. What did he? So now he made a good money. He brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. He made good money as a result. Read.
Whom he called together with the workmen of Ike, occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth.
Now, he brought in other silversmiths, like craftsmen, and said, now, sirs, gentlemen, we make good money doing this. Y'all know that, right? You know, people can convince you. You know, y'all start asking a question, and you start nodding your head already. Now, we make good money off this silver stuff, Lindsay. You know, we make good money. Tony, we make good money off making these silver shrines. And you don't want somebody messing with your money, right? So he called them together. But now, what's the issue? The issue is the truth is being preached. Verse 26, moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Let me tell you all right now. If you got some stuff in your house, you sitting here acting like it's holy, you bowing down to stuff in your house, that's idolatry. That's sin. You don't put anything above God. These men use silver. They made things. You going in saying, you know, I love the Lord, and you bowing down for something in your house. What is that? That's a create. That's made with hands. God we serve is not made with hands. All this Buddhism and all this other foolishness. And you may have some, you got some beads and all the other stuff. You better put that foolishness up. Ain't nothing wrong with wearing jewelry, but don't you worship it. These my holy beads. You better take that foolishness off. I don't mean you any harm, but I got to tell you the truth. People walking around, got, I guess this is this what I wear this for good luck. You know, I got a rabbit's foot. You may have a rabbit's foot in your pocket. Throw it away. Ain't doing nothing. Best place for that is in some gravy. But that's a different context, a different time. Stop all this. You go to your garage. You got a horseshoe in your garage. That's your luck. You got a rabbit's foot in your pocket. That's for luck. You got beads hanging up. That's whatever. And you're bowing down to stuff, but you missed the most important thing. The God that created us is not made with men's hands. He created us. Amen, saints. Y'all all right? So now these men came together and said, this Paul is messing us up. This Paul, Acts 19, we're in verse number 26. This Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying they be no God, small g, which are made with hands. So look at verse 27. What's the danger? What's the danger, Lenny? Verse 27, Acts 19. Come on.
So that not only this our craft is in danger to beset all not.
Hold your point. He said he's going to shut us down. This gospel preaching is going to shut down our business. We can't have this. We make good money giving people stuff they can bow down to. Read.
But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised.
So they lifted up Diana as the great Greek goddess. Her temple's going to be despised. People won't think it's worth anything. Read.
And her magnificence should be destroyed.
And her magnificence should be destroyed.
Whom all Asia and the world worship.
Ain't that something? She is widely worshipped. And all that will come to nothing because of the gospel. People will stop bowing down to stuff because of the gospel. We will lose money because of the preaching of the gospel. And do you think anything is different in 2021? There are people today, you preach the gospel, and they're ready to fight. They ain't ready to fight because they're so concerned about the people. They're concerned about their flock. You better leave my people alone. Go on over there with that old Church of Christ stuff. We don't want to have anything to do with y'all. Why? Because we preach the truth. I'm going to tell everybody today with all the love in my heart, with all that I have to give, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. Because too many have gotten soft, diluting the word of God. And just telling them, doing these feel-good lessons, tickling people with philosophy. I'm here to tell you right now, we may, God willing, this place is full. But I tell you what, we're not going to stop preaching this unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise. And so you see in Acts 17, they were moved with envy. In Acts 19, Lenny, verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they heard that the great temple of Diana is going to be despised. When they heard they're going to lose some money. When they heard that this Paul is preaching this gospel, he's going to put us out of business. How'd they respond? Verse 28.
They were full of wrath.
They were full of wrath. It will make people mad. So brothers and sisters, I will say it for one last time. Get ready for folks to get mad at you because you and I are holding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach your kids that. But mama, they don't like me. Keep on moving, baby. You're a child of God. But they do stuff. They say that, you know, that it's a cult. They say this, they say that. Baby, it's in the Bible. We trust in God. Teach your kids. Teach them now. They know songs. They know everything else. Teach them the word of God. And long before somebody gets married, they better have that word of God. Firmly grounded. Just because I'm just going to make some names up now. If you just, Roderick looks so fine. Roderick could be the devil in disguise. You better know that word of God. When he says, I have no interest in that gospel that you're talking about. Well, have a nice life, Roderick. Now, if your name is Roderick, yes, your cousin, I'm sorry. I'm just making up names up here. Same thing goes to you, brethren. Don't let that beauty fool you. All right? Jezebel over here, he's like, I love you. You're like, I love you too, Jezebel. You better stop that. You better watch your mouth. So you got Beelzebub and Jezebel over here, and you're talking about you love them. Be careful. Be careful. Because sometimes people are so lonely, we compromise. But I'm lonely. You better stick with the gospel. If they're not with the gospel, they shouldn't be with you. Amen, somebody. Trying to help you. So, two things stay ready. You don't have to get ready. Always be ready to preach the gospel. Be ready to offend. They were offended in Acts 17. They were offended, moved with envy in 17, Acts 17. They were full of wrath, the Bible says. And now people are going to go ahead and they're going to dig their heels in the ground. So not only were they moved with wrath, when they read the rest of 28, watch what they said. They didn't say, thank you, Jesus. What did they say?
And cried out.
Cried out!
Saying. Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
Great is Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. So people are going to back down. They're going to keep supporting the devil. They're going to not like you or me. They're going to do things to seek to harm us. And the Bible says, and they're going to go ahead and just kind of double down. Great is the goddess Diana, because that's how they made their money. And people today will compromise friends, family, and their soul because of selfish gain. And so as we close out today, y'all all right? As we close out, it's not a matter of just running somebody off. I want you to understand today, see, God's made salvation possible. God gives us power. See, God has all power. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But see, God the Father empowered Jesus the Christ. But now we can also get that power. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. Turn with me quickly. John, the first chapter and verse number 12. We're wrapping up. I can see the runway. I'm bringing this plane down for a landing now. In John 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The gospel of Jesus Christ has to be preached to all the world. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be heard and believed. Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be hidden to some people. They don't see it. You'll have people tell you after you teach them a Bible class, I don't see that. I was saved before I was baptized. I got baptized later. I was christened as a baby. I don't see that. Why do I have to be baptized again? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, veiled, it is veiled to them that are lost. That word hid, veiled. Like a woman, you can't see her true beauty because she's got a veil on. You lift up the veil, you see the light of the glorious gospel. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, the God of this world, small g, has blinded the minds lest they should believe the gospel. So you mean to tell me there's satanic influence in the world today? Yes. Evil influence in the world today? Yes. And that's causing people to say, I don't believe that. If people can't get something as simple as man and woman, husband and wife, and then the Christ and his church, our pattern after the church is the bride of Christ. So when you mess up one thing, it just messes up everything else. And so there's a term, ecumenical, which means we're just all in this together. Yeah, we're all in this together in terms of mankind, the human race. But brothers and sisters, I tell you what, there's only one way that God made possible for man to be saved, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I referenced it, but let's go ahead and finish it. The Bible says that he gave him power to become the sons of God. How do we receive Christ? Some would have you to believe you receive Christ through a sinner's prayer. Just ask God to come into your heart. That is not what the Bible teaches. Amen, saints. We may have some folks here today saying, I grew up in the Baptist church. That's all I've heard. I grew up in a community church. That's all I heard. I got to bring this plane for a landing. Engineers, I'm coming down. I want you to understand today that God is not playing. Give me Romans 1, 15 and 16. Then we're going to Acts 2 and verse 41. I promise you, we're going to bring this plane. Can you see the runway? The plane's coming down, but it's still in the air right now. And in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, Paul lets us know that he was ready. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 15. I don't want to quote it. I want you to read it, brother, because I don't want them to believe me. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Read.
So as much as in me
that's
is.
That's what I want. So as much as in me is.
I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome
also. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why is it interesting that it was at Rome? Because Rome, when you think about Daniel 2 and verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven establish a kingdom which will never be destroyed. So in the days of the Roman Empire, God's plan, God's kingdom was established. So history and scripture running parallel. You had Nebuchadnezzar and the Greek, and you know, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. Then you had the Medo-Persian Empire with King Darius and Cyrus. You had the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great. Then you had the various Roman emperors, if you will. And in the days of these kings, during the Roman Empire, AD 33, God established the Church of Christ. Not the Presbyterian Church, not the Lutheran Church, not the Baptist Church, the Church of Christ. Say amen, saints, unless y'all scared to offend somebody. That's history. Not, he didn't do it during the Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persian, the Grecian. It was in the days of the Roman Empire that God established through his son, Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ. So when Paul says, as much as in me as I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, come on.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Freeze. Now, why is that important? Because if you're standing before the power of the world, he's saying, I'm ready. I'm not ashamed in front of the then known empire, the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. But there's another kingdom more powerful than you. It's the kingdom of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, come on,
is the power of God.
Power of God unto
salvation to everyone that believeth.
Everyone that believeth, to the
Jew first, and also to the Greek.
To the Greek. So now, what is Paul saying? He says, "Yes, God's power. He's God is omnipotent. He's got all power. God's got power to calm the raging sea. God has power to raise the dead. He raised up Lazarus. But this power, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the only power God uses to save mankind. And because of that power is given to." John 1 and 12, to them that receive him, to them gave he power to become. As many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. So here it is. How do you receive Christ? Acts chapter 2, Lenny. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 37, and this lesson will be yours. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. How do we receive Christ? Well, here it is. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and give you some of the pretext. In Acts 2 and verse 36, we recognize Peter talking to all the people says, therefore let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And what did they say in verse 37 of Acts 2? Men and brethren, unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles. Men and brethren, what
shall we do?
Now, if you all, in terms of receiving Christ, if he said sinner's prayer, there's your answer. What shall we do? We recognize Christ as our Savior. Read. Then Peter said unto them.
Repent.
You need to change your mind. You need to turn from your ways and turn to God. Repent.
And be baptized.
Why?
Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
By the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Baptism is for the remission of your sins. Once you've heard about Christ, once you've heard about his church, you can't have Christ without his church. And his church is the church of Christ. He died for it. Prove it. Matthew 16, 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not, saints, prevail against it. I drove a car, and it is parked out there. I'm getting into it when I leave. Amen. I got one wife. Amen. I'm not going to ask to do it because that would be inappropriate. I would say, would my wife stand up? If we had people stand up in every section, we got a problem in the church. So we get it when it comes to stuff. We get it when it comes to our personal relationships. If you got $1 in your pocket, you know what you have. You know what you're dealing with. There's no confusion with one in those contexts, domestically, practically, and financially. So when it comes to one church, we struggle with that because of sin. We struggle with that because of the devilish influence in this world. Well, I don't see that. How can everybody be in one? All these people going to go to hell? Yes. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said that. Many are called, few are chosen. Broadway, many will be destroyed, few will go on the straight and narrow way. So what part don't you understand about many and few? See, that's the harsh reality. And I pray to God that we can do what's right by God. Acts 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But brother, you still haven't shown me in the Bible. You said, use the word received so many different times, but how do you receive Christ? Well, Acts 2 and verse 41, and then they that gladly received him, and they that gladly received his word, were baptized. So you don't receive Christ. He doesn't come into your heart. You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. God's plan of salvation is very plain. You must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You have then received Christ. Once you're baptized, you rise up to walk in a brand new way of life. And we have to live faithfully until death. Brothers and sisters, the gospel of Christ, turning the world upside down. Will you trust God today? Will you obey God today? Because see, those of us that have already obeyed the gospel, we got to keep trusting, ing. Keep obeying by the way we live in this world. Amen, saints. And as I said in the beginning, I'll say at the very end. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to worship, you got to stay focused. You got to stay locked in. You can forsake worship sitting right here, having your mind somewhere else, doing everything else, zoning out. And those of you that are sitting there sipping some coffee and some Captain Crunch, just watching TV, you just wasted your time. I ain't going to play with this anymore. We got to do right. You can worship God in vain. Habits are hard to break. You wake up, wash your face, put on a suit, and you go to a job. When it comes to worship, you roll out of bed with rolls in your hair, grab some coffee, and hey, Brother Gale, no sir, no ma'am. Get up and get right. God ain't playing. God ain't playing. That's called a mindset. That's called a different. You switch gears. You can do that for man. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But then when it comes to God, it's like, no, I'm good. I'm comfortable. We got those that are legitimately sick. We got those that cannot. And they're praying that they can come back. I'm not saying the people that are actively participating and focused are sinning. I'm not saying that. But I tell you what, watch your mindset. Watch your mindset. If you can go other places, you can come down here. It's a mindset. And brothers and sisters, God is my witness. We got to be more urgent. We got to be more sincere. We got to be more courageous when it comes to preaching God's word. Thank God we have the opportunity to come together and worship. Thank God we have the opportunity to engage folks in worship that are with us online. Thank God for that. But there's a responsibility both here and there. And let us not do it in vain. And let us share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're online right now, put your request in the chat so we can capture it at the appropriate time. For those of you that are here today, you've heard the plan of salvation. A song has been selected. We've given you the word of God. I pray that it was received in love because it was sent in love. Don't allow my voice level and my urgency and my fervency to be confused with not liking you. I love you and God loves you more. But later on today, I'm going to be looking at a TV. I may raise my voice at that too because of my passion and I'm trying to help them. But see, that's one thing. That's a sports context. In a spiritual context, I'm seeking to help you because I'm just a messenger of God. And I pray that you trust and obey as we together stand and as we together sing. Won't you come?